You are listening to BensTorah.com.
Gedolei Yisrael over the centuries, especially those Gedolim who were Gedolim in America, like Rabbi Moshe Feinstein and others said, there is a halachic obligation upon us to vote in elections and articulate our opinion and our feelings concerning who we feel is the best candidate to be the president and leader of the United States of America that we're benefiting from. So could obviously the chiv to vote and participate in the process of elections was something that was advocated by Gedolei Yisrael to this very day. And could obviously, what I find fascinating and interesting are the letters that have been put out by the Litvish Rosh Yeshivos, the Gedolei Litvish world, and the Hasidish Rebbes of the Gedolim of the Hasidish world, how all of them have put out letters that we must participate in the vote. And not only that, but they've even given direction who we should vote for. And what I'm going to try to do today to explain to you is the logic behind why they chose what they chose. I want you to listen very carefully, because what I'm telling you today, in my humble mind, is not only a question of just voting to be kind of the midst of voting, but we're dealing in a very important time in world history, Jewish history. We're actually at a crossroads. What is the future of the world? What is the future of America? What is the future of Eretz Israel? Who is going to be the best leader to lead us in the proper direction to bring us ultimately to the ultimate tekufa, the period of time in which the ultimate redemption of the Jewish people and the world at large will take place through Mashiach? And therefore, I want you to listen very carefully. There's a lot of confusion being thrown out into the marketplace. There are people that are giving opinions on this topic that have no clue what you're talking about. And I'm not going to go into their opinions today. But I do want to mention to you that what I'm going to tell you today is based upon black and white. Mekaros and Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaalpeh. It's based upon Hashkafis Chazal, articulated by the Tanoim, the Amoraim, the Rishonim and Achronim, and the Gedolei Hadar of our generation Ad Hayom Hazeh. So I want you to listen very carefully as I go through the various parts of what is important, what is significant when it comes to the uniqueness of this election. I hope you'll share this information with other people as well after you hear my presentation this morning. I am taping this specific share like everything else. I'll be giving it to Corinne to send it out to the people on your main list. Anybody who's not on the list or who wants a private copy from me can contact me, and I'll gladly send them immediately after this share's over an actual tape, an audio tape of exactly what I'm teaching you this morning. So please listen very carefully as I present to you the facts, and you'll see very shortly what I'm concerned about and why I am voting who I'm going to be voting for very shortly within the next couple of days. Without any further ado, let me get into this. I want to point out to you that when the Ribbono Shel'olam created the world from the very beginning, the Ribbono Shel'olam did not leave it to mankind, for mankind to figure out what's right, what's wrong, what is considered proper behavior, what's considered inappropriate behavior. But he already gave mitzvahs to mankind from the beginning of creation to define what Hashem expects from us as his creations, as his creatures, as entities that are dependent upon the Ribbono Shel'olam for the existence of the universe and for the maintenance of the universe. He has expectations of how he wants us to conduct our life, how he wants us to think, how he wants us to behave, both in our relationships between ourselves and God, and the relationships we're supposed to have between ourselves and our fellow human being. The rules and regulations that apply to the non-Jewish world are called in our literature the Zion Mitzvot B'nei Noach, the seven Noahian laws. The rules and regulations that apply to Klal Yisrael are the Tayag Mitzvot, which we received in Har Sinai. Both sets of laws are not only set down in the written law of the Torah, but they are also explained very, very elaborately in the Talmudic text, especially in the Gemara and Masechta Sanhedrin. The Rambam laboriously, in his halachas and Hilchos Malachim, went out of his way to define and to define and to redefine what are the halachas, especially as it relates to the Bnei Noach halacha. And in fact, we have a mandate which is articulated by a chazal going back to the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, in which the Rambam says that the same way Moshe Rabbeinu had an achrayus when he came down from Har Sinai to teach the world their responsibility of Zaymis as Bnei Noach, hashkafically and halachically, and if the non-Jewish world observes this based upon God's divine commands in the Torah, they can even become a chassidu masolam that have a portion of the world to come. Moshe could obviously also spend most of his time defining for the Jews their Tayag mitzvahs and all the minutiae involved in those mitzvahs as well. But I want to dwell today specifically on the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, which relate to society at large, the non-Jewish world, which are the basic construct of the American population in which we live, and the major voting population that's going to be voting in the forthcoming election. We are going to be voting as well, but in numbers, quite obviously, there are more B'nai Noach than B'nai Yisrael when it comes to this process. So what I first want to mention as an opening statement is that the Rabbeinu Shem therefore gave us a blueprint calling the Zaymitzvahs B'nai Noach, that we have a responsibility to make sure that what Moshe taught the B'nai Noach as a chazarashir of the Zaymitzvahs that were initially given to Adam HaRishon, and later on were taught to those generations. It was repeated to Noach again when he left the Teva after the Mabul, and had been taught to the non-Jews from that very day on, that we have a responsibility, as the Chasam Sofer records in his Shelos and Tshuvos, to disclose to the non-Jewish world what their religious responsibilities are between their relationships between themselves and God, and the relationships they're supposed to have with other fellow human beings as well. These are called the Zaymitzvahs B'nai Noach, and Hashem therefore quite obviously indicated that he wants us to conduct ourselves in a certain way as we live on the planet Earth that he created for us to live upon, according to the will and the ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. These seven laws, which are not just seven laws, but seven categories of laws that also have minutiae, are nevertheless the blueprint of how the non-Jewish society is supposed to conduct themselves every day of the year, 365 days, according to the divine mandates of the Ribbono Shel Olam, going back to the time of creation of the world. Now, one of the major predicates of having these Zaymitzvahs is the fact that we have to believe there's a God who commanded us in these specific commandments, as Rav Moshe Feinstein advocates and talks about very, very extensively in a very important tshuva discussing the concept of us trying to impact upon the non-Jewish world, that they have a responsibility to recognize God, they have a responsibility to pray to God, especially when they're in a time of crisis, when they're in Esat Tzara, they have a chiyuv to show their belief in God by praying to God and showing their dependency upon God. And based upon that, Rav Moshe Feinstein said that even in the public school system, when they were thinking of penning a prayer to God, not based upon any specific religion, not based upon any specific religious theologians, but a general prayer showing that in God we trust, as it says in our money, and as basically is emphasized in the various constitutions, the Declaration of Independence, the Liberty Bell, and everything else that we basically hold very, very precious to us, are all based upon psukim, based upon passages contained in our Tanakh, denoting the divine will and prophecy of God concerning how we want society to live and exist and conduct itself. The concept of trust and belief in God is a sine qua non, not only quite obviously as a general principle, but when America was founded by its forefathers, in God we trust was emphasized over and over again. This is God's divine plan. All the major documents of the actual Constitution and the Declaration of Independence and all the major principles that are contained today in the actual rule books of the American law system are based upon the Judaic tradition and the Christian tradition, which continued the Judaic tradition, based upon the belief that the Bible we have today is the Bible that God gave us at Mount Sinai to all people, not only to the Jewish people, but God wanted the non-Jewish world to be familiar and understand and comprehend and study the biblical texts of the Bible as well, to understand God's divine will when it comes to how he wants us to conduct himself. All of this is a given. There's no debate concerning this. We believe that the way we're created B'Tselem Elohim, the non-Jewish world, going back to Adam and Chava, we're also created in God's image. And as such, we have a responsibility to use our Tselem Elohim, our divine image of God, to connect to God on the highest spiritual level according to our capacities to maintain a relationship to further God's divine will in this world, based upon biblical literature, based upon Talmudic literature, and based upon the rules and regulations of the Zayin mitzvahs, which the non-Jews have to observe, and the Tayag mitzvahs, which the Jewish people have to observe. I want to mention to you, and this is very, very important, is that there are Zayin mitzvahs. And I just want to mention them very quickly. This goes back to Torah Shebiksav and Torah Shelapeh. What are the seven mitzvahs B'nai Noach? Number one, the concept of dinim, setting up a court system, setting up a system of rules and regulations, how society is supposed to interact on every human level in all types of endeavors, personal relationships, business relationships, international relationships between countries and countries, people and people. This is called the concept of dinim. The second mitzvah is Birchat Hashem. God forbid, we're not allowed to curse God's name. We have to show respect to God. And therefore, that's the second of the Zayin mitzvahs. The third is the concept of the prohibition of Avodah Zarah, worshipping any other gods besides God himself. And Isa Avodah Zarah applies to Jew and non-Jew across the board. The fourth mitzvah is the concept of the prohibition of killing human beings, the Isa Shvichas Dam. We have to realize man's created in the image of God. When you're destroying a human being, you're destroying also the image of God that God implanted into each and every human being. Everybody's created with B'Tselem Elohim. There's a certain part of God contained in every human being. And when you kill a person, you're also destroying that part of God implanted in that human being. The fifth of the mitzvahs is the Issa Gilui Arayos, acting in a promiscuous way, violating all different concepts of male-female relationships, or even male-male relationships. Subsumed on the Gilui Arayos is not only the Iser of male and female inappropriate incest or adultery relationships, but the Iser of homosexuality, lesbianism, bestiality, all of that is subsumed in Gilui Arayos as well, not only for Jews, but for non-Jews as well. Very explicit in our poskim who discuss these specific issues. The concept of gezel, of stealing something, property or whatever it is that belongs to somebody else. And that's number six. And the seventh of the mitzvahs is the isa of evim and achai, tearing off a limb of a live animal when they're still alive and then consuming it. Instead of killing the animal first and putting it out of its existence, basically taking away any pain that would be involved in cutting up the body later on for the purposes of consumption. These are the basic Zayin mitzvahs B'nai Noach, which were given to mankind from the beginning of Briyat HaOlam and applied to the non-Jewish world to this very day itself. Now, with this in mind, I want to discuss first of the Zayin mitzvahs, the concept of Dinim, the court system. The Rabban Shalom wanted the world to conduct itself in a format in which there is a court system, there are dayanim, there are judges, there's a court system, there's a concept of accountability, there's a concept of having law and order, there should be ethics and morals practiced by the dayanim, by the actual judges who are in charge of the specific court system. And therefore, if that's the case, we have to make sure that there is a court system not only for the Jewish people, but a court system set up for the non-Jewish people. And as the Ramban Nachmanides points out, there is a requirement for the non-Jews to make their own Choshen Mishpat, which describes interpersonal relationships between human beings and human beings, to live together in society on all different levels, on social levels, personal levels, commercial business levels, when it comes to national level, when it comes to international levels. There is rules and regulations we're supposed to have that will therefore mandate ethical and moral societies that come into existence that live by law and order. The first thing I want to mention to you, and this is something that really bothers me tremendously, and I don't know why people are ignoring this, is one of the greatest differences that exist, obviously, between the Republican Party and the Democratic Party in the year 2020. I'm not going back 50, 60 years ago, but I'm going now to the year 2020. When you look at the events that have been taking place the last couple of years, what you find very simply is the concept of law and order, respect for judges, respect for courts, respect for policemen who are supposed to enforce the rules and regulations that the court system and the legal system set up. It happens to be that the Republican Party are tremendous advocates of this, and therefore they want to make sure there is proper leadership, and they want to make sure that the leadership goes from the president all the way down to the governors and to the mayors and to the various people in the various cities contained in the United States of America. Law and order, respect for law and order, respect for the court system, respect for policemen is a major, major phenomenon. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, if there wasn't a Mara HaMalchus, if there wasn't a fear and trepidation and concern for the Malucha, for the actual rulers of the country in which you live, if you don't have respect and concern for what they have to say, what's going to happen is Ish es chaver chayim below. There's going to be total anarchy. People will be beating up people. People will be killing other people. People will be destroying other people's property. This is a reality, and this is something that halachically is a concern. When we saw in the last couple of weeks and months, and this past couple of years, that the Republican Party understands that and preaches and teaches this to its constituency. The Democratic Party, for God knows what reason, has no problem with people basically turning their nose to the presidency, to the actual court system, to the police, to any type of legal system. They feel that when they have a grievance, they have a right to go out into the street, act as anarchists, destroy people's businesses, literally beat up people, kill people, in order to get their message across. Where they got this from, where they know this from, one thing is for sure, that is a basic violation of the concept of Zayin Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. It's a bitul of the concept of Kavod HaMalchus, showing disrespect for the court system, showing disrespect for the flag of America, for the rules and regulations, for the Constitution, for the Bill of Rights, and literally to act like a bunch of gangsters and anarchists. This is not what America is all about. So for that alone, there's a major difference between the Republican way of dealing with law and order and the lack of dealing with law and order that is practiced so far by members of the Democratic Party or their adherents, as has been demonstrated in front of our eyes terribly in the year 2020. How many millions and billions of dollars of property were destroyed by people who are the people who are basing their concepts on the concepts of the Democratic radical left-wing individuals, no respect for law and order whatsoever, beat up police, shoot police, kill police, try to get rid of the police system. This is something that is intolerable, something that we as Jews have to loathe and have to protest, and therefore, if that's the case, it's a dangerous society. For that alone, it's a question of law and order versus a lack of law and order. The concept of a seder in society in which there's Mor HaMalchus, which the Republicans advocate, and a lack of Mor HaMalchus, which is being advocated by the activists of the Democratic Party. One of the basic concerns that we had when it came to the COVID situation, in which the mayor of the city of New York, de Blasio, and even Cuomo, the governor, when it came to the lack of concern that there's mob activity taking place in the streets, nobody's social distancing, nobody's wearing masks, besides the destruction of property that did not belong to them, the police being held back, the fact that National Guard were not allowed to come and intervene and protect the properties and protect other citizens' life. When the question was posed to these politicians, you put strictures on synagogues and churches and houses of prayer, they must have social distancing, they must wear masks, they therefore can't have major assemblages, and there you're strict and strict as strict as can be, making all types of fines and punishments for violation. When they were asked the question, when it comes to these types of major insurrections in the streets, of gangs destroying property, how by them don't you have police coming and stopping this from taking place? They're not having any social distancing. They're wearing no masks. They're spreading potential disease. When they said there's a difference between protests and a difference between praying and worshiping God in houses of prayer, they showed a hypocrisy that is incomprehensible, indescribable, and something that is simply incomprehensible when it comes to the logic. Now they have a little charat on what they did, maybe, perhaps, but the fact of the matter is that that's the differentiation they made, and the fact that there was a bias, especially against the Jewish synagogues and houses of prayer and yeshiva. They ignored totally, as far as we know, what the Arab world was doing and the mosques were doing. They were only concerned about the synagogues and some of the churches. This is something that is not what American law is based upon. There has to be equality to every citizen, equality and freedom of religion to every religious sect contained in America. And the bias being articulated by Democratic leadership in many parts of our country was simply incomprehensible, intolerable, and something that you have to take note of. And unfortunately, it has not been totally rectified to this very day itself. When it came to the red zones that were in New York City, all of a sudden the only red zones that had people that were placed there to supervise the population were the Jewish parts of the red zone of New York City. But when it came to the parts of New York City that were, you had the black population, the Hispanic population, the Arab population, and even certain parts of the Christian population, there were no investigators, no people taking notes, no people making investigations. How can we understand this according to the rules and regulations of equality, liberty that is preached when it comes to the laws and rules and regulations of the United States of America? You must take note of this. This is a very important factor. And there's a fear that if the Democrats take hold, this type of behavior will continue in the future and generate unquestionable anti-Semitism. It already did start spreading anti-Semitism. When de Blasio and Cuomo started blaming the Jews, Jews were being beaten up in the streets. Jews were being denied access to bowling alleys or to other places because of the anti-Semitic rhetoric being articulated by our governmental officials. This is something we have to protest and prevent from happening. So one of the first major reasons of voting Republican rather than Democrat, who respects the law, who maintains law and order, who maintains equality, who maintains the Constitution and the concept of Declaration of Human Rights and advocates for it. The Republicans as a system have demonstrated that in 2020. The Democrats have shown total disdain for this. The next major concept, and this, my dear Tamidim Tamidos, is a major concept. One of the mitzvahs of the B'nai Noach that is mentioned in the Gemara, in Masechtes Sanhedrin, very explicit, is the Issa of abortion. The Issa of abortion applies not only to the Jewish people, it applies to the non-Jewish world as well. The fact of the matter is, the only type of abortion that's permitted according to Jewish law, both for Jews and non-Jews, are therapeutic abortions. Abortions that are for the purpose of saving the mother's life, to prevent her from having psychological, physiological problems that might cost her life. In that case, we have a Mishnah Mufareshes and Olaos, a Psak Halacha in the Rambam, and a Halacha quoted in Choshen Mishpat, that the only type of abortions that are permitted are therapeutic abortions, where the mother's life is at stake. The problem is, and this is a big problem, is that there's a major difference between the Republican and the Democratic Party. When it comes to the Republican Party, the concept of the belief in life, the concept of a person being able to say that I am a pro-life person, and therefore only abortions that perhaps damage and endanger the mother's life are should be permitted. But indiscriminate abortions, just for the sake that I don't want the baby, and I don't need the baby, and I can't afford the baby, to literally just have abortions and abortions in the numbers of the millions and the millions and the millions, even discriminating between the amount of abortions that are being done in the black community in comparison to the abortions being done in the white community. This is all documented. I have no time to go into it, but there is a definite bias. Most of the institutions that involve themselves in non-therapeutic abortions, why they contain in the black and Hispanic communities more than any other of the white communities. There's something wrong with this. The Republicans believe in the concept of the right to life. Babies who are conceived have a right to live, and therefore, if that's the case, the only time they can be destroyed and abortion might be permitted is when it comes to the mother's health and welfare. If, and that's the Jewish view of this, the Christian world are even more strict according to Christian theology. They don't allow any abortions, even when it comes to therapeutic abortions. In their mind, if the baby is threatening the mother, the famous statement made by the Vatican, better two deaths than one murder. So the fact of the matter is, killing a baby, which is looked upon as a murderous act, both in Christianity and Judaism, and most probably in Islam as well, is something that is forbidden. And it's not forbidden based upon just what human beings says. It's a biblical prohibition. It's us according to Torah law. A non-Jew, according to B'nai Noach law, who will commit an abortion, would be therefore, if it's an illicit, would be chayav for Mises Bezdin. That's how strict it is. The Republicans respect this concept and therefore adhere to it. The Democratic Party have said over and over again, a person has a right for personal choice. My body's mine. I can do what I want with it. The baby inside my body is part of my body. I therefore have the ability to make a decision whether it lives or dies, irrelevant of the reasons I want to do the abortion. This is totally against biblical law as it relates to the non-Jewish world and to the Jewish world at large. The problem is not only have they allowed and advocated millions of illegal abortions when the baby is still in the body, but the situation has become even worse. They now have what is called partial birth abortions. When the baby is already coming out of the body partially, they still allow abortions. And there are many left-wing radicals in the Democratic Party, one governor in Virginia in particular, who wants to articulate even if the baby is fully born. If the mother does not want the baby, they can perform an abortion and destruction of the child at that point in time after a full birth has been actually taken place. This is totally, totally murder. Totally against biblical law as it relates to Jew and non-Jew alike. And therefore, Democrats, who are therefore very, very for abortion in all types of circumstances, my body's mine, I can do what I want with it, is totally against biblical and divine law as it relates to B'nai Noach as well as it relates to Jewish law. The Republicans are against this type of misbehavior, and the actual Democrats, especially the more radical ones, are very for this type of freedom of abortion. I want you to be aware of this as Jews. Who are you supporting? Now, anybody who has such an insensitivity to human life, to take a baby that has all its capabilities and to destroy it in utero, to destroy it when it's out of the uterus, if this is their attitude to human life, What is their attitude when it comes to older people, when it comes to the senior citizen world? What's going to happen when it comes to medical care? Will they want to treat them if they need medical care at a very old age? Under Obamacare, there were problems. There are people who might need, who are very, very old, might not get the medical care they need because they might fear, according to Obamacare's old rules and regulations, they don't deserve to get this care. They should just let these people die. It's not worth for society anymore to sustain their existence. And if you think this is just an exaggeration, look back at the statistics, what was going on. Also, look at what happened very recently when it came to Democratic governors in New York and other places taking COVID patients and putting them into nursing homes. And as a result of this, the most susceptible members of society, senior citizens who are in the nursing homes, were exposed without any type of mercy to COVID patients, the most susceptible part of our population. Do you know of how many thousands and thousands and thousands of senior citizens in nursing homes throughout the United States were literally killed because of their exposure to COVID patients? Who does a thing like this? Who makes such a rule and regulation that if the hospitals are burgeoning with COVID patients, we put them into nursing homes? What are we, crazy? What are we, out of our cotton picking mind? But this is something that the Democrats did, something the Republicans protested. This is factual. Look at the statistics, and you'll understand what I mean when I'm telling you this. The next question I want to mention over here, and this is very, very important, and that is the concept of attitudes of anti-Semitism, which we see developing very strongly in the Democratic Party. Many of the leadership are Arabs who have an agenda over here, are anti-Semitic individuals who have an agenda over here. There is an animus that is felt, that is being generated by being articulated by many of the leadership in that specific Democratic Party. In the Republican Party, there's a respect for all religions. They try to fight anti-Semitism. They try to, quote, obviously, give equality to all the citizens. Look at the President of the United States, who the Democrats have the audacity to say is a racist and anti-Semite. As our famous debate with Ms. Harris a couple of days ago, how can you call President Trump an anti-Semite, a believer in the KKK, a Nazi, if his daughter converted to Judaism, and his son-in-law is a Jew, and he has Jewish children, and he has a love for Jews? How many people in his administration are not just Jews, but Orthodox Jews? He has a kosher kitchen. How much has this man done to help the Jewish people when it comes to helping them in their needs and necessities, not only on a local level, but an international level? Let us look at his approach to Eretz Israel as a Republican leader of a Republican Party compared to Obama and Biden when it came to the Democratic Party. The bias that Obama and Biden showed to Israel, the unnecessary pressures, the bias to the Arabs against the Jews, the plan they wanted to make with Iran, the deal they made, which definitely jeopardized the entire world at large, and Israel in particular. No person who has a love for the Jewish people would have made such a deal with Iran, would have allowed them the ability to produce nuclear weapons and other types of phenomenon. They surely only are pressuring us when it came to making deals with Palestinians who have demonstrated over years upon years that they have no desire to make any peace with us. How many peace plans have they rejected? Incredible peace plans, because that is their agenda, to make Israel literally cleansed of the Jews and make it into a Palestinian Arab state. They're not interested in a two-state solution. They're interested in the destruction of the Jewish land of Israel. Our Republican Party, led by our president, look what they're doing now in the Mideast. They are trying to cause a peace between Israel and every one of the Arab countries that had an animus and a desire of destruction with Israel. The amount of nations now in the Middle East that have a peace agreement with the Jewish nation, incredible success of causing a peace in the Middle East between Israel and its Arab neighbors. The Emirates this week, the question of Bahrain, the concept of potentially Saudi Arabia. We have Jordan, we have Egypt, just go down the list. There are going to be 5, 6, 7 more other major Arab countries that are going to participate in this peace agreement.
You are listening to BensTorah.com.
This is something that Mr. Trump with the Republicans are accomplishing. It is simply incredible. We're causing peace without endangering a Jew or an Arab, making deals between each other, going to do business together, travel into each other's countries and have peaceful existence, share technology, medical knowledge, and everything else. It's an incredible phenomenon. And unfortunately speaking, the Democratic Party ignores it, criticizes it. Biden the other day says we got to go back to the Obama system and his system and force the Jews to do what they're doing. They don't care about this type of peace process. But I want my fellow Jewish brethren to know that what the president is doing now, his process was actually foreseen and mentioned by Rav Kook, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, in his writings. What the Rav Kook says, there's a Mashiach ben Yosef and a Mashiach ben David. And what I want you to know, and I want you to record, that the difference between Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David, Mashiach ben David is the ultimate Mashiach coming from Malchus Beis David, who's going to be involved in bringing the Jews of the world back to Israel, back to religion, rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash, serving as the religious mentor to the Jewish people and to the non-Jewish world at large. Who is this Mashiach ben Yosef? So Rav Kook says, it's not just one person. It's not even necessarily a Jew. It means that one of the major powers of the world, a non-Jewish power potentially, very similar to Persia when it came to the building of the Second Temple period, who will have incredible military might and power in the world, that their leadership will come now and basically make a peace when it comes to material phenomena, when it comes to physical phenomena on the ground, a peace between the Jews and the non-Jewish world will be the predecessor to cause that all the material and physical needs of the Middle East will be shared equally between the Jewish people and their Arab neighbors. They're going to come along and be the facilitators. Very similar to what the Persian government did when it came to setting the stage for the Jews to be able to return to Bayis Sheni to build the Beis HaMikdash, reestablish the Jewish homeland. The Persian government was an integral part, starting with Koresh, finishing with Daryovish. They supported the process politically, militarily, monetarily. And that is why what is quite interesting is the Temple Mount Institute that has already made the potential Kalim for the third Beis HaMikdash printed a coin. On one side, they have the picture of the third Beis HaMikdash. On the other side of the coin, they have an imprint of Koresh, Dayovish, and President Trump, basically saying what Koresh and Dayovish did for the Jews of Bayis Sheni, Trump and America are doing for the Jews when it comes to the facilitation of building the Bayis Shlishi. This is historic periods we're living in. Ikfas of the Meshicha. Who would dream these events would be taking place? Whoever witnessed the Sudanese peace treaty with the Jews and the event that took place in the office of the president, surrounded by his advisors and other people who are interested in making a peace for the world at large, it was a Kiddush Shem Shemayim, something that is incredible. And the Democrats want to deride it. They want to make believe it didn't happen. They want to put it down. But let me tell them a secret. When God is about to perform the ultimate Gula and redemption, the Gemara says in Masechta Sanhedrin, Whoever stands in the pathway of God and prevents God from facilitating the ultimate redemption, even requires the Malchus and the Jewish world to be participants, as we've seen in the past, going back to the Balfour Declaration, the League of Nations, the UN vote, etc., etc. Whoever stands in the way of God will not succeed in trying to hamper this process. What Trump and the Republicans are doing are the will of God. Trump mentions God's name over and over again in all of his major speeches. In God we trust. God is the one who's responsible and helps us. He'll help us fight the COVID disease. It's God's divine will that we move our specific embassy to Jerusalem, to the actual capital of the Jews of the land of Israel. He's acting as a shliach. Why are people ignoring this factor? If Rav Kook was here, you would hear from him personally, jumping and singing praises, and seeing what he had mentioned Mashiach and Yosef is supposed to accomplish. Keep this in mind. If the Republicans win, this will continue. If, God forbid, the Democrats win, I hate to say it, they are going to literally change the process and bring us back to the terrible tohu vavohu that existed up until this point in time. When it comes, therefore, to the concept of what we're supposed to be doing over here, the fighting of COVID, our president from the very beginning appointed a commission under our vice president, Mr. Pence, and they, working with scientists and working with pharmacological companies and all types of other agencies, try and are still trying to make sure to develop therapeutics and vaccines to get rid of this disease. There were rules and regulations that were made that were basically dispersed amongst the different states of America. They even shut down America for a couple of months in order to try to get a handle on the disease. Because if they didn't do that, not only 200,000 would have died, millions of people would have died without that type of intervention. The fact of the matter is, there are vaccines and there are therapeutics that are on the way. The fact of the matter is, we have a greater hold and understanding of this disease than we ever had before. The fact of the matter is, Trump and the Republicans did not cause this disease. The cause of the disease is China. China exported it to the world. And one thing is for sure, Mr. Trump is putting the blame where the blame is. If you ask Mr. Biden, we have videotapes in which he praises the Chinese. They're our friends, they're our friends, they're our friends, etc., etc. When Mr. Trump points out, if they're our friends, why are they cheating us when it comes to business and trade and trying to literally steal secrets when it comes to the various patents and things that we have? Why are they stealing technology? Why are they undermining and undercutting us? And why are they creating viruses in their laboratories that release untold harm and agmis nefesh and death to people on the face of this earth? Unfortunately, the Democrats, instead of blaming China, are blaming our president, which is absurd, which is simply insane. The fact of the matter is, what makes things even worse are the latest revelations of corruption that are taking place and took place under the Begin administration, under the Obama administration. What they did in order to try to make Trump look as if he was a traitor to the company, a country, as if he was taking money or doing other things that were illegal, they spent $48 million to prove it, and it ended up that they were basically false. The documents we have today demonstrate this. There was a conspiracy against Trump and his administration for the very beginning, for the last 3 and almost 4 years of his administration. The fact of the matter is, we have proof now, not only based upon computer, which has been demonstrated and said by the FBI and others to be a truthful computer belonging to Biden and his mishpacha. We have thousands and thousands of emails demonstrating that Biden, even when he was vice president, had his family make all different types of financial deals with Russia, with communist China, with Ukraine and other places, with other adversaries. We're talking about millions and billions of dollars. Who knows where the money is at this point in time? all types of deals. And there is a person who came forward, who was a lieutenant colonel in our armed forces, who was normally a Democrat and supported Democrats. He felt when he saw that the Democratic Party were basically saying, this is a lie, this is a Russian lie. And when they basically had Facebook and Twitter and other public mechanisms of publicity, CBS, ABC, MSNBC, all of these places ignoring to cover this specific scandal and making you believe it didn't happen and saying it's a lie. This gentleman came along and said it's 100% the truth. He knows it's the truth that Biden was involved. Joe Biden, not only Hunter Biden, because he spoke to Joe Biden about this. And he admitted he was involved behind the scenes in giving his son the clout to do what he was doing. How could a man like this, that is so compromised politically by being involved in such illegal dealings, be a candidate for president of the United States? The bigger question is, the FBI had this computer with this information over a year ago. How did they allow him to be proposed as a potential candidate for presidency? Actually, he was doing what they accused Trump of doing. Trump never did this stuff. The Democrats made the whole thing up, but they have been covering and protecting Biden and perhaps other people in the Democratic Party who were involved in these corrupt activities. And this is another strike against the Democrats when it comes to what they're trying to do. The concept of the type of system that we're going to live on when it comes to economically is going to be a capitalist system, or is it going to be a social welfare state? This is another major difference. The Republicans want us to have a capital type of state, a state in which you have a free market and people basically have the ability to do business and are not forced by the government to do this and that. Unfortunately, the socialists and the communists and the Marxists that are leading the Democrat Party behind the scenes, they want us to have a social type of system, not only when it comes to business, but also when it comes to medical care. And this is a danger to our society when it comes to the economy and when it comes to the health and welfare of the citizenry when it comes to medical care. I will tell you the following. The latest reports I heard today on CNBC that a study was done. What's going to happen to the stock market and to the markets in general? If there's a Trump victory, they said, even though CNBC is acting very, very left-wing lately, they mentioned that according to the latest reports, the economy will flourish and double and literally go up. If there's a Democratic victory, it's going to be a very, very desperate situation when it comes to the economy, the stock market, and the financial capacities of our country. Please take note of this because they're not articulating this. One of the biggest revelations we had at the last debate between Trump and between Mr. Biden was the question of fracking, of oil production, fossil fuel production, in which Mr. Biden said he wants to get rid of it. He wants to eradicate it. The fact of the matter is, so it's going to be done slowly, but he wants to get rid of it. Do you know how many jobs are going to be impacted in America if you get rid of all of these industries? You're talking about 19 million jobs. Do you know what that means? That if you get rid of these jobs, you get rid of these industries, we will no longer be energy independent, which Mr. Trump and the Republicans were able to accomplish, and therefore as being economically and independent when it came to our energy, we were no longer beholden to the Arab and other countries who had a hold on the energy that we had to buy energy from. If you get rid of these industries and try to go into clean energy, you're going to be beholden to these specific individuals again. We're going backwards rather than forwards. You're going to lose money. You're going to lose jobs. It's going to be an act of devastation. Any state in America that depends upon oil or fracking or fossil fuel as a way of employing millions and millions of people, the Democrats want to get rid of this. And ultimately speaking, he lied in the last debate. Mr. Biden said he never said he wanted to obliterate fracking. And Mr. Trump said that, but it's on videotape. So he told Trump, if I said that, show the videotapes. And if you've seen the last couple of days in all the various rallies Mr. Trump is having, he's showing the videotapes. Both Mr. Biden and his vice presidential candidate. We're eliminating fracking. We're eliminating oil production. We're going into fossil, we're getting rid of fossil fuels. This was stated by them explicitly over and over and over again. This would be devastation to the economy of America. I therefore want to say the following. We're holding now in a very, very important part of world history, American history, and Jewish history. We have to realize that the stability of America, the stability of the world, the stability of Eretz Israel is in our Dalet Amos at this point in time. Who you vote for? It's not just Biden against Trump. It is the Republican concepts against the Democratic concepts. This is not the old Democratic Party. This is the new socialist, left-wing Democratic Party. And the Republicans have become more sensitive, more loving, more concerned for the needs and necessities of the country, and especially its Jewish citizens, and the health and welfare of the Jewish state in the Mideast. It is black and white. There is a major difference. What is frightening is that when it comes to the physical capacities of Mr. Trump and Mr. Biden, Mr. Trump, you can see after having COVID, a week afterwards going from one specific public assemblage to another, he has his energies back, he's going full force, and Mr. Biden is hiding in his bunker in his house, comes out, speaks for a couple of minutes, goes back into hiding. He has other surrogates going out speaking on his behalf. His memory is failing him. The other day, instead of calling his opponent Donald Trump, he called him George Trump. He doesn't remember names. He doesn't remember what he said in the past. He doesn't have the mental capacities at his age, unfortunately, to lead America as its president. He doesn't have the fire, the passion, the energy. Mr. Trump does have the mental capacities, the fire, the energy, the love for America and America's values to bring it to higher levels. In 4 years, he accomplished for America in all types of incredible things, more than Mr. Biden did in 47 years in public service in the government of America. Who do you want to lead the country and bring America to higher heights of success? There's no question in my mind that you saw something a couple of days ago, which is incredible. I've never seen all the Gedolim in the Litvish world and the Leil Gedolah Hadar in the Hasidish world coming in with public statements saying we must vote for Trump for all the reasons I mentioned up until this point in time. We never saw this phenomenon before, but it is a telling statement. It is a statement where God is sending us a message. If you're a Jew and even a non-Jew, you have to vote for Trump, not only because of his love for Jews, but his love for every ethnic group in America itself. He is a lover of human beings. He's a generous human being. He gives charity in a very, very humble way. His father was a lover of Jews and supported Jews and Judaism and shuls in the buildings he built in Queens many years ago. Trump got this from his father. There's a love he has for human beings in general and for Jews as well. He has the capacity to bring us to greater heights when it comes to America's successes. I am pleading to you to talk to your family members, whoever they are, and explain to them we're at a crossroads and whether we're going to succeed and build on our successes or go backwards and destroy America, God forbid, and destroy perhaps Eretz Israel and destroy the economy of America and put people in danger. What do you want as the vision of America? Trump promised and kept his promises. Biden promised a lot of things over 47 years, but never brought them to fruition. As Mr. Trump said to him in the debate, 8 years you were with Obama as vice president, as a president. Why didn't you bring all your ideas to fruition? And Biden had the chutzpah to say, it's not my fault. I was only vice president. This was Obama's agenda. That is not an answer. That is not the ultimate way a politician who believes in his Democratic Party would talk bad about the person he was the vice president of. We're living in a topsy-turvy society. Don't let the various types of polls, which are forced polls, make you think this is a lost cause. Come out and vote early. Come out and vote, period. And vote and vote and vote. Let America pick the right person who has the energy, the capacity, the mental acuity, and the ability to bring to fruition all the promises he said in the past, the promises he said in the future. All of this can come true. But we have to be loyal to him and be Makir Tov and show our appreciation and support his candidacy. May God bless him, bless America. We have now also in the Supreme Court a third judge who's a conservative member of the court, something the Democrats wanted to block. We can't allow them to get hold of the government, the Senate, and the House and the presidency to stuff the court and to cause the whole Supreme Court to no longer have the power had in the past. There's a lot of corruption and ideas of corruption of what they want to do when it comes to destroying the powers of two parties holding check on each other. Beware of all of this. As they said, Chuck Schumer said, everything's on the table. Guess what? He's right. Everything's on the table. Chazal said, I give you life and death. Brachata b'chayim. Voting for Trump and the Republicans is a bechata bechayim. It's a mandate upon each and every Jew to listen to your Gedolei Yisrael and listen to the logic that they have and listen to what I mentioned today. The difference is black and white. I hope and pray with the help of God that the Dvarim sheyotzim el halev nechnasim el halev, and that the Jews will realize in this moment who they have to vote for, who's going to protect us, both here in America, around the world, and in Eretz Israel. Who's going to further the peace process? Who's going to help be the Mashiach ben Yosef to allow Mashiach ben David to come and take care of the spiritual rectification of Eretz Israel and the Jewish people and the building of the third space Hamikdash? It's quite obvious who is helping lead that specific phenomenon. It's Trump and his party. May God bless him and all of his administrators, all of his magistrates, everybody that works for him, and give him the ability and the strength to continue his work of God for many years to come. May God bless America. May God bless the American people. May God bless the people of the world. Let's see the time of peace of shalom that's supposed to exist between every nation with the coming of the Mashiach and the ultimate economic revival of the world, with happiness and peace, no longer any wars, as the Psukim say, and the ultimate coming in of the Mashiach's period in Olam Haba, in B'yach Mashiach Tzidkenu Amen. Thank you for listening to me today. Spread the message. This is our mandate now. Don't let anybody fool you and tell you anything else.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.